This is the U.S. government that claimed to support human rights, and it continues to have similar claims. But when it comes to countries that want to be independent from the United States, the only thing that the U.S. government is not worried about is human rights. They were supporting the Shah's government, and they were asking him to kill more people at that time, and they were supporting him to the last minute.
And let's extend that a little bit further. Dr. Shahabi, Dr. Izadi talked about the United States being a supporter of human rights and also a leading advocate of democratic rule. So why is it that it established such a close relationship with the Shah of Iran, who was famous for his dictatorship, as we just touched on?
Well, the United States has always sided with the oppressors, with the tyrants, with the dictators. Until today, the United States does not support democratic movements anywhere. And if it claims to be supporting this movement or that, it is only for media and for exposing unrealistic phase of its foreign policy. The United States does not support democracy, does not support really human rights, and it has given a lot of arms to the regimes who are known for their brutality against their own dissidents. For example, just look now at what is happening in the Persian Gulf. Just in the last 2 days, we heard how the United States has decided to install missiles in those lands to face Iran. They have taken the decision, not the governments of the four countries mentioned in the news. It is the United States who decided to face Iran and to challenge Iran and to provoke Iran with these acts. And that was what had motivated Imam Khomeini in 1963 and 1964 to stand up against the Shah when he gave impunity to the Americans against trials in the Iranian courts. And that's what they used to call the capitulation law, that American soldiers and servicemen would be exempted from standing trials at the Iranian courts, even if they carried out crimes inside the Iranian territory. So this arrogance still pervades until today within Iraq and in Afghanistan and in various countries. So that is the legacy of the United States that is still causing a lot of problems to those who seek freedom, who seek democracy, who seek betterment of their human rights in their countries.
Dr. Izadi, Dr. Shahabi just talked about the United States' arrogance. Of course, we see the activities that are being exercised in the region, and just in this region, from Iraq, we go to Afghanistan, and just mentioned about the arming of the Persian Gulf area. Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad came out today, and he said that this year we'll see the definite failure of capitalism. At the same time, he also said that we will see the start of the globalization of the Islamic Revolution. So from 30 years up to now, we can see how vast the Islamic Revolution has spread itself for it to be called globalized, as Iran's president has said. If you can expand on that a little bit further for us.
You know, we should remember 30 years ago, the U.S. government did not expect Iran to have an Islamic government. Since you bring up that question, that reminds me of another line in the Newsweek magazine. Okay. Let me read that for you, if you allow me.
Sure.
This is a 1978 CIA study, and I quote here, this is the CIA study: Iran is not a revolutionary or even a pre-revolutionary situation. This is a few months before a revolution took place in Iran. And there is another quote from the Defense Intelligence Agency, and I quote here: Shah would, quote, remain actively in power over the next 10 years. This is in 1978. So they expected him to be in power until 1988. And we saw that he was overthrown in about 8 months instead of 10 years. So sometimes we think of the United States government as a government that knows what it is doing. And as we have seen repeatedly, based on their actions in countries like Iraq and Afghanistan, it's very evident that many times they don't know what they are doing, and they don't know what is waiting for them. This happened 30 years ago in Iran, and I think the prediction that President Ahmadinejad had with the expansion of Islamic movement throughout the world is not very distant, and the U.S. government may not expect it, but I think the future will tell another story.
And of course, we can't forget that this is a young revolution in a matter of speaking. When we look at what happened with the eight-year war in terms of the time that it took, and at the same time, being under heavy sanctions, Iran has been able to come forward and basically just vastly expand on a huge variety of fronts, whether it's technological advancements or infrastructure within the country. Do you think that that's something that was envisioned back 30 years ago of what this revolution brought to Iran?
If 30 years ago you had told Iranian people that you and I will be sitting in Tehran speaking in English and will have broadcasts all over the world, I don't think anyone would have believed you. And here we are, sitting and talking in English, and we are being seen all over the world. So that's an indication then that things can change very fast.
Thank you. Those are the last words on this topic. We appreciate that. That's Dr. Fuad Izadi from the University of Tehran there. And, of course, we want to thank Dr. Saeed Shahabi, political analyst from London.